Why do Ohio lawmakers want to ban ranked choice voting? The method allows voters to rate their favorite candidates, and Cincinnati used a form of it for years. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about ranked choice voting and a push to bring it back to Cincinnati, our Charter Committee convener, Steve Gooden. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Thank you, Lucy.
And WVXU senior political analyst, Howard Wilkinson. Welcome back, Howard.
Thank you, Lucy. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Howard, explain what ranked choice voting is and how it works.
Well, this is a system of voting, as you say, where voters come in and they rank their choices from their favorites to, you know, in the case of Cincinnati City Council, it was like nine. And there are several different ways of doing ranked choice voting. In Cincinnati, it was adopted in the 1920s, and it was meant to elect nine city council members, where in a system where there was a threshold set for election to a council seat. And as this thing went on, and sometimes it took days to count the votes, but basically candidates would one at a time reach that threshold by moving up in the ranks. The person with the least first place votes, their votes would be distributed to other candidates up the line until every nine people had met the threshold. Worked very well for about 30 years, and then it went away.
Well, when did the city end that system, and why did the system go away?
Well, it's not a very pretty story. In 1955, Ted Berry, who was a brilliant lawyer who worked for the NAACP, a black man, was vice mayor of the city of Cincinnati. And he was in line under the system where, in those days, where council chose the mayor to become the next mayor. And there were people in the business community and in the Republican Party who would not accept the idea of a black man being mayor of Cincinnati. So they did a kind of sub rosa campaign, and it was, and some of it was out in the open too, basically telling white voters, you know, we can't do this. We got to replace this system. And there was a vote taken, and white voters in the city of Cincinnati were heavily in favor of it. Black voters were not. And what we ended up with was the current system, 9X, where you don't rank your choices. You just take a long list of candidates and pick nine people.
Steve, you served on Cincinnati City Council for a term, and I understand you're pushing to bring back ranked choice voting. Why?
Well, for a couple of reasons, Lucy. And again, thank you for taking the time to talk about this, because it's an issue that's often misunderstood. I mean, ranked choice voting really is in Cincinnati's political DNA. I mean, it was part of the original charter reforms, as Howard said, back in 1924. I mean, we brought in three big things to clean up the Boss Cox corruption mess at the time, which was a professionalized city manager, an at-large city council that was elected not through a ward system, which could be manipulated through sample ballots, but at-large, and what they called at the time proportional representation, which was a form of ranked choice voting. And it worked like beautifully for many decades. I mean, Cincinnati outpaced its peer cities in terms of minority representation and women representation on city council. And the main reason is because it's really hard to manipulate with sample ballots. You have to pick your choices one through nine, as Howard said. And it becomes very, very hard to control. And it also, voters can become open to third, fourth, and fifth choices that they might not have voted for otherwise. They consider independent candidates, they consider others. And when I look at the current landscape here, you know, we really do have a situation at City Hall where there's a sense that the City Hall isn't listening to the voters, whether it be the controversies around connected communities or Hyde Park Square. the railroad sale, there's any number of issues, the infrastructure, snow removal, there is just this sense that it is not representative. And as we look at the last few elections, it has become increasingly dominated, now totally dominated, by a sample ballot, which is very reminiscent of the circumstances in 1924. Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form comparing the council members to the out-and-out corruption that was happening back in the era of Boss Cox. I mean, I think it's very, very well documented. Those folks under current law would be in federal prison right now. But it was, but there is a disconnect, and it really does seem like it's time to go back to the original charter concept and evaluate that.
So, Steve, Democrats won all nine city council seats in the last election. Do you think ranked choice voting could change that outcome?
I think it would almost assuredly change that outcome. Now, let me state, I don't think this is not a covert effort to elect Republicans in the city. I think, in fairness, you would see a lot more independents come forward, third-party candidates, perhaps some Republicans. There are still a handful of Republicans in the city. Actually, roughly less than 15% of the electorate in the city are Republicans. But you would have a different kind of candidate come forward. It is easier to be elected with less dollars or fewer dollars. It's a different sort of scenario that way. And what I always the way I explain it to people is like this. I don't think Cincinnati gets enough credit for how weird it is. We are sort of the Austin of the Midwest. Maybe it's all the years I've spent in Northside and Clifton. But I mean, I look back and think of some of the great political figures we've had in city politics, you know, like the folks like John Merlesina or Jerry Springer and all the, you know, those folks really would not be elected and blessed by the party bosses today. So the idea that we would have true representation across the board, and that Cincinnati and all of its weirdness and diversity would actually have a seat at the table, I think would prevent things like what we've seen this year with the Connected Communities debate and things of that nature, where really it feels like this council, which is elected off a sample ballot, just is not representative of the community.
We're talking about ranked choice voting, a push to bring it back to Cincinnati, and a bill that would ban it in Ohio. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. We did get an email from Steve in Oakley. Steve writes, in local elections in recent years at the city and county level, voter activity seems to be driven by the simplicity of low voter turnout, coupled with a sample ballot and strong ground game. Will ranked choice voting be a hard sell given this election and voting ecosystem and current voter mindset? What do you think, Howard?
Well, you know, ranked choice voting will always be a hard sell. That doesn't mean it's wrong. And I would think that Steve is absolutely right about what the current situation is. But it would be a whole different picture if we went back in the field races. I mean, it doesn't make much sense, you know, in a head-to-head contest. But in the field races, ranked choice voting could make campaigns less costly. You wouldn't have to spend as much money, and it might even encourage a lot of people who wouldn't vote otherwise to go out and vote.
What do you think, Steve?
Oh, I think it, well, first, it is going to be a heavy lift because of the opposition of really both political parties. As you noted, you know, there is an effort, you know, in the legislature, which is very Republican dominated right now in Columbus, to basically strip any state funding from a city that adopts ranked choice voting, which in my mind is an outrageous violation of sort of the home rule principle. And I'm very curious if this legislation does move forward, if the governor will sign it. Governor DeWine has always been a proponent of home rule for our cities. And it's sort of a symptom of how the state has become more red, but our cities have become more blue. So there is really this disconnect right now between Columbus and our cities. But all that being said, we have every indication from some of the national polling we've seen that younger voters are very, very open to structural reforms. And ranked choice voting, I think, has a lot of interest among millennials and Gen Z, because I don't, you know, they feel that they just haven't been heard, whether it be at the national level, state level, and now at the local level. So a hard sell, perhaps, in terms of the concept, a hard sell in terms of which format is adopted. But the general idea of in opening the door to lower cost campaigns and independent candidates and people of all political stripes. I think that's going to be very, very popular with younger voters.
We have a couple callers on the line. Hey, Jack, thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi, I just wanted to state that I am very much a huge fan of ranked choice voting. I'm a Gen Z citizen of Ohio in Cincinnati, and I am very dismayed that our state house is trying to ban it. And I'm so grateful for leaders and the grassroots movement to keep, maintain, and grow the ranked choice voting movement.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jack. Wow, Steve, you just called it. Young voter there on the line. And we have Robert. Let's see if I can get Robert on the air. Hi, Robert. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I just want to second everything that Steve is saying. Thank you so much for speaking about its history in Cincinnati. And I also have to emphasize that the attack on home rule is just so vile and cruel and specific and weird. And it shows how afraid they are being held accountable. Thank you for talking about this.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate that. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We'll continue our discussion after that. And later in the program, we'll discuss how reentry after incarceration is different for people convicted of white-collar crimes. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about ranked choice voting. My guests are Charter Committee convener Steve Gooden and WVXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We did get an email from Isaac, who writes, I strongly support ranked choice voting as it most faithfully represents the will of the largest and most diverse number of people, and opposition to its implementation is nothing more than a thinly veiled desire to ensure minority rule. Howard, I want to ask you about this because Steve referred to before the break this bill that the Ohio Senate has passed. It does have bipartisan support, and this bill would ban ranked choice voting in Ohio. What do you think is the motivation behind that?
Well, it baffles me, Lucy, and like you say, it does have bipartisan support, but it's basically a Republican bill. And I did a column about this actually a couple years ago when they originally put this bill in the hopper. It baffles me why Republicans in the state of Ohio would be so dead set against ranked choice voting when it could rebound in their favor, particularly in the major urban districts of Ohio or urban cities, which are heavily Democratic, but at least they would have a really good chance of winning representations on city councils in places like Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, and all the other Democratic strongholds. Why they would oppose this is just mind-boggling to me because it could help their position in the urban areas.
Is the Democratic support for this ban new, or has that always been there, Howard?
I don't know. I mean, it's fairly recent, but I don't believe that. I mean, they really don't need any Democratic votes for this. Republicans in the Ohio General Assembly can do what they have a veto-proof majority. They can do whatever they like in the House and the Senate. So, you know, any Democratic support for this idea is superfluous to me.
Steve, elected leaders, both in the Republican and Democratic parties, they've called ranked choice voting too complicated. They've called it cumbersome. Even some have called it a pipe dream that won't accomplish what supporters say it will. What do you think about those criticisms?
Well, first, as to the idea that it's complicated, I always tell folks, everybody that went to high school engaged in some sort of ranked choice voting. If you voted for like the homecoming king or queen, you did ranked choice voting. It's really not that complicated. However many seats there are, that you rank, and it really, if you think about it, it's actually more simple. And one of the things I love about it is it does result in more civil campaigns. The campaigners, you could be someone's second choice. You can't go scorched earth, and particularly in these field races, it does tend to lessen the impact of negative campaigning, and in some cases wipe it out altogether. I would say, back to Howard's point about why the Republicans are going this way, I can speculate. It's informed speculation. The strategy with some of the national and local and statewide groups that we've been working with in the ranked choice voting movement here in Cincinnati, you know, they are looking at ranked choice voting in state legislative races. That would be the gold standard for them. And I think some folks in Columbus see this as a potential attack on gerrymandering, just like some of our local Democratic officials have spoken out against ranked choice voting under the fear, I think, that it would disrupt the sample ballot. So if you look at the sample ballot in the blue cities, I think, obvious gerrymandering that has occurred in the state legislative districts, they're all sort of a piece in my mind. And there is this fear that if ranked choice voting catches on in one part of the state, that it could spread and prove popular, particularly among younger voters. So I believe that is what I believe the motivation to be. I can tell you that kind of our strategy has always been to try to reintroduce ranked choice voting in the cities in Cincinnati or in Ohio. And there are several cities, but Cincinnati is the most populous and where there is a history, and to kind of bring it back. We see it as a restoration sort of the charter. But I think there is concern in Columbus that that this could catch on.
Hmm. Howard, Steve mentioned earlier, too, that this legislation that would ban ranked choice voting also would withhold state funding for municipalities that adopt it for local races. Why do you think that's part of this bill?
Well, that's typical of this Republican majority in Columbus. And I think that, you know, if that were the case, and if this thing passes, and if it's signed into law, which is a pretty big if, that would be challenged in court immediately. And I'm not sure it would survive. It seems like that might be against not only the state constitution, but the U.S. Constitution. So, you know, there's one thing, and we're talking about the how complicated this is. And it's true that back in the days when Cincinnati had proportional representation, sometimes it took several days to count up all these votes and move them up and down until you got 9 elected council members. It took a while. But this is the 21st century, and there are computer programs now which could do this in minutes instead of in hours. There was one thing that Marion Spencer, God rest her soul, used to tell me all the time when she'd talk to me about ranked choice voting, proportional representation, and she did often, was she said, well, you may not understand it, but you don't understand how your television set works. But when you turn it on, it does. So basically, Marion always said, don't worry about it. It works. We did it for a very long time.
I'll say my television doesn't work 100% of the time, but I understand the analogy and see where you're going there. Howard, why do you think these are pretty big ifs that this will, because it's already passed the Ohio Senate. Do you think it's do you think it's up in the air as to whether it'll pass the House and get signed into law?
No, I think what's up in the air is probably whether or not Mike DeWine signs it into law. And I don't think that is necessarily a given.
But as you mentioned, both the House and the Senate have veto-proof majorities, right, in terms of the Republican Party?
Yeah, they can get their way, yes. But, you know, anything, even if they do, the problem that we talked about with these, you know, punishment, financial punishment of cities that do this, that's going to end up in court. It's going to be tied up in court. And it may be a long time before they can actually enforce what they intend to do.
Steve, if this ban does become law, passes both chambers, whether the governor signs it or vetoes it, if it does become law, what would that mean to this effort in Cincinnati? I mean, how would this effort react to that?
Well, first, we're very flattered because, you know, we've had, you know, I think we're more organized in Cincinnati on this issue than most other cities. We had just an initial organizational, you know, meeting a couple of months ago that turned out over 100 people on a Saturday afternoon in February. So, you know, we were, and it was a younger group. As I said, there's blue and pink hair were there. You know, it was young people who were fired up about this. And so we were excited. And we do think this is in part in reaction to the organizing that we're doing, because I don't believe there's another large municipality that has moved this far along. But I do agree with Howard. I think it is an absolutely clear violation of the Ohio Constitution to try to threaten funding over something of this nature. I think it's very well established that Ohio cities are allowed to organize and manage their elections as they see fit, just like we're allowed to. The city of Cincinnati has its own criminal code. If you go down to the state courthouse this morning, you will see the city of Cincinnati prosecutors standing alongside county prosecutors administering the city's own municipal code in terms of criminal offenses. So we do have, if home rule is to mean anything, we ought to be allowed to do this. And there is, as we've discussed, over 100 years of tradition of Ohio cities, particularly Cincinnati, engaging in ranked choice voting in one form or another. So I think it would be a very heavy lift to get this through the courts. And that's something, we are watching that very carefully.
So you're not concerned about this state bill?
We're obviously very concerned, and it would impact the timing tremendously if we were to move forward with this. We are more concerned and focused on the nuts and bolts of when and how we would bring this to the voters. Right now, there's been no official word from City Hall or from the local Democratic Party, but every indication we've received, and based upon some of the public comments of sitting council members, it's pretty clear that this would be something that the council would not put on the ballot. We would have to do a large-scale petition drive in the city, which is costly and difficult. So that is something that we're assessing and trying to assess which election cycle makes the most sense to bring something like this forward. So that is our focus right now. If the governor does sign this, which I sort of doubt, but if he does, then we are ready to litigate.
So how can people get involved if they support this effort if they oppose the effort?
Well, if they oppose the effort, they're going to have to Google around and try to find somebody. Actually, pretty easy, yeah. Actually. I think you just call your local state legislator. Most of them seem to be on the other side of this. In terms of getting involved, I urge people to look out at rankthevote.org, which is a state organization, and Rank the Vote Ohio, easy to find online, and we're working with them locally as well in our organizing.
Yeah. Howard, what do you think ranked choice voting could mean for the city of Cincinnati? I mean, would you expect to see more Republicans make it onto council, or even charter committee members make it onto council?
Yes, I would. And I also think that it can open up opportunities for, as Steve was saying, for Gen X and millennials and other groups that have a harder time raising money and organizing, because this is a cheaper way of running for a Cincinnati City Council race. There's no doubt that it would cut the cost of city council campaigns. But I just want to make one final point on this, and Steve's alluded to it. Home rule is a well-established principle in Ohio in its constitution, and they're going to have a very hard time in court overturning that.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Charter Committee convener Steve Gooden and WBXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll talk about how re-entry is different for people who serve time for white-collar crimes. This is Cincinnati Edition. Stick around.